This is season 2, episode 29, making the most of year 1 as a professional.
Welcome to Let's Talk Parks. This is a collaborative project that gives a voice to emerging leaders in parks and recreation.
We believe every professional has the potential to make a difference in their organization and in their communities.
These are the stories of the future leaders who are navigating their career and finding their purpose through Parks and Rec.
Hey, Let's Talk Parks. It is Marissa. And a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to sit down with Jody Seamer from Kansas City Parks and Recreation. And we talked about that first year as a professional and what you can do to make the most of it. What are some things that will set you up for success? And what are some things to avoid if you want to make sure that you're successful? So I think there's some really good step-by-step tips that are really helpful and things that, I mean, everything she said really helped me when I was a first-year professional. So I was really lucky that I had a mentor my first year. She was amazing, but not everyone has that. So even if you are a seasoned professional, you've been in the field 10, 20, 30 years, take a listen to this. Maybe identify someone in the field or within your agency that you see potential in and you need to kind of steer them in the right direction. So take them under your wing. And also think about your first year and what made you successful and what you learned from. I think it's always really good to take a step back and think about ourselves and our growth. So really good episode for especially first year professionals, but even seasoned professionals as well. So Jody is a seasoned Parks and Rec professional. She has worked in the field in numerous capacities for the last 21 years. What started as a high school summer job turned into a passion for parks and recreation. She began her career with the Springfield Green County Park Board as a day camp counselor and later running outdoor education programs. For her college internship, she worked for the Springfield Cardinals, learning the many facets of how a professional stadium and sports organization runs. When it came time to begin full-time work, she worked with the Nixa Parks and Recreation as a recreation specialist, coordinating a vast number of athletic leagues, as well as creating and growing many new and existing recreational programs, classes, and events. She has continued her career with the Kansas City Parks and Recreation, first as a supervisor of recreation, and now she is manager of recreation. In her current role, she oversees 5 community centers and her department's out-of-school program, but more importantly, she has the pleasure of helping develop and grow her recreation staff as programmers and recreation professionals, as well as working with the community that she serves.
Hey, Let's Talk Parks. It is Marissa Moravec here again. I'm joined by Jody Seamer today. Assisting our new professionals in making sure that they are successful is a focus of the Let's Talk Parks team. Anthony is very involved in the Young Professional Network. I've been very passionate about the internship experience and what universities can be doing to better our professionals. Becky has also been putting together resources for new professionals to make sure that they're successful as well. We all believe that new professionals are our future and that it's our responsibility to make sure that we steer the field in the right direction. So today I'm joined by Jody Seamer from Kansas City Parks and Recreation to talk about what that first year as a professional is like. In my opinion, that first year can make or break a professional. I was fortunate to have an excellent internship experience and end up at a great park district, but not everyone has that great, wonderful first year experience. And we see so many people that start here in Parks and Recreation and then they quit after the first year or two. So Jody's going to talk to us a little bit about that, but let's go ahead and hear from her quick about her background and her experience.
Hey everyone. Thank you for having me. So a little bit about me. I have been in parks for quite a while. I started off as a camp counselor, like so many other people. My sister was a camp counselor before me. I went to the camp that she was at, and somehow I ended up becoming a summer job that I just continued to go to every summer, year after year. From that, I had no desire actually to be in the parks and recreation field when I was in college. My goal was to be to work in sports management, to work in athletics, to work in professional sports, like so many people. And then I did my internship and realized that there's a lot of hours, there's very little pay, And it's a dedication that is going to require you to really set aside the idea of having family and that kind of stuff. So I walked out of my internship thinking, man, I need a job because now I have no money. And my local community actually had a Parks and Recreation position open. And through this whole time, I had continued to work part-time in Parks and Rec for a different community. So I ended up working for Nixa Parks for 8.5 years. It was great. I learned so many things in that community and from my coworkers and from my supervisors. It was an amazing experience. Unfortunately, I kind of ran out of room to grow. And I found myself in Kansas City, where I'm at now. I started off as a supervisor of recreation overseeing a facility, and currently I'm a manager of recreation where I oversee 5 of our community centers as well as our out-of-school programming for the entire city. So it's expanded quite a bit, especially the virtual learning. It includes a lot of virtual learning activities that we have going on, but that's kind of where I'm at right now, and I thoroughly enjoy Parks and Recreation. What I said was I never wanted to. And then as time went on, I learned how much I actually love this job field and that I have such a passion for it. And it was nice that I didn't really realize it until it hit me in the face.
And I think so many of us have a similar experience. Maybe it's not that we got a degree in something else, but we really are here because we love it. We somehow fall into it and we realize that it is the best of both worlds. Yes, maybe we don't make a ton of money, but we truly love what we do. So I think that's always great to keep in the back of your mind. And it kind of rolls into our first topic about what should a new professional expect during their first year as a professional? Because not everyone has this honeymoon experience that some of us have. It can be hard. So what should they expect as their first year out of college or in the field?
Excellent. Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. Not everybody has this amazing moment. I would say one of the biggest things is when you walk into your, you know, that first year is be prepared to do a lot of learning. It is kind of crazy because every city and organization, they have so many different ways of doing things. There's not a single city really that does the exact same thing as another. There might be some overlapping. And if you had the luxury to have interned for that city or that organization in advance, you kind of have some of that learning curve out of the way. But there's still so much more that goes into once you get there and you're a full-time employee or even part-time employee. So really be prepared to do a lot of learning. Next is your first year is your foundational year, in my opinion. And when I look back at my first year on the job and I realize that really truly established where I was going from there. I had to learn so many things on the job so quickly. In my first year, I actually ended up running almost every one of our programs in our department, minus a few things. We had a few that I didn't touch, like aquatics, that didn't come until a little bit later. But in that first year, I had my coworker passed away unexpectedly. And so I ended up picking up a lot of the programs that he was doing. And he was a seasoned professional. He had been in the job for quite a while. And I, you know, trying to fill in his shoes and do the job that he was doing, it really kind of gave me the understanding of how important it is to create a strong foundation for yourself. And you're going to feel lost. I felt so lost at times. And you're going to feel like you are out of the loop, that you don't know things, and that is completely okay. It took me a long time to be okay with not necessarily knowing what to do. That was a struggle. It's not something that I like. I don't feel good about not knowing. And so that really taught me to take a step back and understand that this is my first year. My supervisor, I came to him after a situation where I felt like I had failed completely. And he said, you know, I don't expect anything more of you than to just learn from your mistakes. He's like, this is your first year. You're supposed to make them. So just learn from them as you go. So, you know, that was a really big relief for me. And I try to use that when I work with my staff as well. But I kind of think of that first year as a very long first impression, where you are constantly showing people who you are, what you can do, and all of those things. And you have opportunities each and every time to kind of build on that impression. And then most cities and organizations, they have these probationary periods, and that's kind of a scary idea in itself. There's nothing like seeing in that red print that, you know, if you don't pass your probationary period, you actually are terminated. That's a really difficult thing to not be worried about. And so that's one of the things that I try to keep in mind, but that's also an important piece to it, because as an employee and an employer, this is vital probationary period, because for the employee, you get to really see if this organization is a good fit for you, or if it's what you thought it was going to be. Because sometimes you walk into situations and what was advertised is not being, and so you really, this is that opportunity to see if this is the best place for you. And then for the city or your organization, this is kind of the situation where you're going to see if you can do your basic requirements of the job. That's really what they want to know in those 6 months or 3 months or however long that period is. You're not expected to know everything right away. Rather, you're just expected that you have basic knowledge of where to begin and then what to do once you've been shown what process that you need to follow. Really, it's kind of just that you can follow directions and that you have the skill set to do what the job requires of you. So just show off those skills. Show off what you know. It is perfectly good and a good thing to do. Let's see here. Demonstrate your communication and problem solving skills. Those are big. You can't communicate enough, and nobody is always going to be there for you to solve every problem. So you're going to have to figure out how to show that you know how to solve some problems. And then, you know, what if you get too deep, that you know what to do when you're in too deep. So those are big ones. And the last one I really think is that you're going to listen a lot. So listen to coworkers, supervisors, members of your facilities, participants of your programs, whatever, citizens. You're going to listen to them a lot because they're going to tell you a lot of things. And some of them you might want to actually put into work, and you want to use those suggestions and those ideas. And other things, you're going to have to take with a grain of salt and realize that people want a lot. They're going to ask for the world, and you might not be able to give them the world, but maybe you can give them a little slice of pie. So those are kind of, I think, some of the big things that you should know or what you should expect on that first year.
There were, I think, two or three things that you said that I really related to and resonated with. One being, understanding that your first year, you probably aren't going to know anything. I was super lucky my first year out of college that I worked for someone who was an amazing mentor. And I thankfully went into that position with open arms and open eyes and wanted to learn everything. I didn't go in thinking that I knew everything. Thankfully, I was very, I can't think of the word for it, but I was willing to take criticism. I knew that I knew nothing. I was very humble. And the other thing that you said was your probationary period, like the first 30 days or 60 days, it's also time for you to know, and I've preached about this a ton in other podcast episodes, it's okay to realize that this is not a good fit for you. It's also that probationary period for you to know whether or not this organization is a good fit. I've been at two different agencies that the interview process, it didn't feel good. And when I got there, it still didn't feel good. And I gave it 90 days. And in one situation, I just kept going because there wasn't any other opportunities out there. But in another situation, I think I literally was at that park district for 100 days. I made it to my 90 days. And by day 90, I was looking for another job and I was working something else out. So it's okay. It's a probationary period for you too to see if something is a good fit. So I loved both of those points. Everything that you said was great, but those two really stuck out to me and I could relate to. So Jody, what do you think the employer in the field expects of new professionals? What can they do to meet those expectations?
Yeah, that's another great question. So there's five things really that I think are things that really stick out on what it is that is expected that people, your supervisors and everybody's going to expect out of a young professional. I touched on this a little bit earlier on the learning concept, but it is again such a big deal. So willingness to learn, and that kind of is broken out into learning about your department. So the jobs, the facilities, the parks, everything about your department, you need to learn it and you need to know it because this is who you are. This is who you represent, and people are going to expect you as soon as you step in to know about your department. They want to know that you are comfortable and confident in the job that you are doing and where you're working. Next is your city. You need to know about your city. You need to know the good, the bad, all of it. Understand it. So when people ask questions or when you go to do processes or policies or whatever, you are familiar with what your city's mandates are or whatever that is, especially crazy times like this. There are mandates left and right. So this is that time where you guys spend some time learning about your city. You're going to learn about budgets from general funds, sales tax, revenue funds. Your city is full of all different kinds of funds that make it go round for your department. And it is important to know what those are, how they work, why they work, how they were put in place, how long they last. And that way you can prepare yourself as you're a professional when you're programming or any of you know what you have to work with or what you're director has to work with, and you know what constraints you have and maybe what opportunities you have. You're going to learn the hows and whys of your department. So those standard operating procedures, those are golden. You know, they're always there. They sometimes look dusty, but you should dust them off and reread them or read them again or whatever, find them. Let's see here. Learn your programs and their purpose. Sometimes you're going to be handed programs that you didn't actually decide to do yourself. They just needed to be done and they have a purpose. So figure out what they are, why you're doing them, and the purpose of them. Learn your department's recreation management software. You can't go wrong with that. That is always a must. You're going to be living and dying by that software, and you need to know the ins and outs of it so you can be successful. Come ready, open, and eager to learn each and every day. So again, just don't stop learning. That is one of the biggest ones. And I think the next one, so number two, would be your buy-in. That is a good one. And if you're not bought in, kind of like what you said earlier, where after the 90 days, it didn't feel good. This was not a fit. You're not bought in. This is not a good place for you. So you got to have buy-in, and your supervisors are going to know if you don't. You need to have that willingness to embrace your organization's mission, vision, and values. If those don't align with you, it's not a good fit, and you need to do what you need to do to take care of you, but maybe find something else along the way. And develop those professional relationships with fellow staff and customers. Those are huge, because if you just come clock in, clock out, you're not becoming a part of the organization, and your customers are going to see it when they are there with you, your patrons, your league participants. They're going to know if you really don't care, and that is a big important piece to it. Being a team player, that is what we are in Parks. We are a team of amazing people who are there all the time, and you've got to be that good team player, because without each other you kind of get lost. And then get to know your coworkers and let them get to know you. You know, you have to necessarily go out and have, you know, drinks with them every Friday night, or, you know, spend every Tuesday hanging out together, but just spend the time to get to know each other, because those relationships are going to be valuable to you later on. The third point would be on time. Really, it's that simple. Just be on time and be professional. Look professional. That is a big one. Our fourth one, I would say, would be open, and then a big blank spot. So be open to working outside your comfort zone, to suggestions, to saying yes, even when you don't want to. And there are going to be plenty of those moments when you don't want to. Jumping in to help wherever is needed. So if that means that you don't really feel like raking a field for 3 hours, it's okay because you are part of a team and we're going to rake a field together. Sharing new ideas or ways of doing things, taking initiative, learning from your mistakes, and being flexible. So don't just say, yeah, I'm flexible, but legitimately be flexible because we understand that our profession is non-traditional and they're going to expect us to work weird hours, holidays, all kinds of things to show up when the rest of the world might be shut down. But that's part of being, that's what makes us great in so many ways. And then being open-minded. It is not our job to judge, what's going on, but rather to serve our community with the respect and dignity that it deserves. And the last one, that fifth one, is just to ask questions. So nobody's expecting you to know everything. If you're unsure, ask, learn from experiences, and then continue to ask those questions. And I have a few bonus ones if you want to hear them. They're really simple. Take responsibility for your mistakes and learn from them. Never tell someone it is not your job. Listen, if your director can clean a toilet, you are more than capable of cleaning a toilet. If your director can mow a field, you can easily mow a field. It is a team, and the coach doesn't get away with not doing the work either. So, we have to do it all together. Before making a decision, remember you are always representing your department, your city, your organization. You have that shirt on, you have that jacket on, whatever it is, you are speaking for them with every action that you have. Tell your coworkers and supervisors what they need to know and not what you think they want to hear. That line of communication is important. So those are the five biggies and then some bonuses of what I think is expected.
There were so many points. I'm sitting here taking notes as we talk, and I had to stop writing notes because there was just so many. So first of all, the standard operating procedures, SOPs, like Joni said, like read them once a year. I know that I am that really big Parks and Rec dork, and when I've got a couple minutes where I'm maybe not working on a project or helping a patron or something like that, I open up our policies and things like that so that I can be more familiar with them. You also talked about that relationships are being huge for buy-in. I can't tell you how important it has been in every single position I have held, whether it's seniors, aquatics, fitness, having those relationships with your community members are huge. It's really what drives your numbers. If people like you and they buy into what you're doing, they'll continue signing up. So I would say, especially during the pandemic with my seniors, I had, and I've said this in other episodes before, I had to get on my soapbox and tell them what we were doing and why I needed their support. And thankfully, I had built those relationships with them prior to the pandemic and very early in the pandemic and opening up to them and being very personal with them. And so they did buy in. They did sign up for our programs. They signed up for programs that they had no intention of participating in because they felt like they needed to donate the money to the district and to me and to secure my job and our instructor's job. So buy-in is huge. And then going back to all of your being open stuff, all of those points, yes, you have to be open, especially during the times that we're in right now. I have been asked to help in our aquatics department because I have an aquatics background. So I helped train our lifeguards this summer for our beach and pool. I've worked several shifts at the beach. Just this morning, I was asked if I could start helping in our childcare department because they're low on childcare teachers. So you better bet I'm going to be fingerprinted and fill out all the paperwork to be DCFS certified so that I can go help in our childcare department, despite the fact that we're opening up my senior center in a couple weeks. So you have to be open to pitching in. And I do these things not because I want to make sure that my job is secure, but because I know that my coworkers would do it for me. If I needed something, they in a heartbeat would pitch in to help me too. So again, it kind of goes back to that first 90 days and making sure that it's a good fit. But I'm more than happy to pitch in and say yes. And selfishly, it's going to help me in a couple of years when I apply for that superintendent position and they say, do you have experience with child, you know, early childhood programs? Do you have experience with aquatics and fitness and things like that? Yes, I have several years of experience with aquatics and fitness, but I've never touched the child care area. So I want that experience. I want to say, yes, I've seen what it's like and have that experience. So many good points. So now we'll go ahead and roll into our third topic, which is pitfalls in your first year. Do you want to go ahead and explain some of the pitfalls that our new professionals should avoid in that first year?
Absolutely. So you kind of, actually, there's one I'm going to add to the list that I have here that you just said, which was, you know, being diverse in your experiences. One of the pitfalls that people fall into is that they get really excited about a certain area of parks and recreation, whether it's outdoor, aquatics, special events, you name it, you know, youth programming, seniors, whatever it is. People have that passion. That's that area that they love so much, but they have that idea down the road that I want to be a manager. I want to be a superintendent. I want to be these things. And in order to be these things, you cannot pigeonhole yourself in one area. And so, like I had mentioned earlier about stepping outside that comfort zone, sometimes, like you did, you've got to step outside that comfort zone and you have got to work in an area that is not comfortable. I am not necessarily the aquatics background individual, but my city was in the need of somebody who needed to do aquatics. And I was like, okay, let's go see what this aquatics world is all about. You know, it is a whole other beast. It is a whole other mind frame. It's a whole other experience. But it is all of those collective experiences that really prepares you for that next step. If all you have on your resume is, I did sports leagues, then you're going to be a great fit for a facility manager of a tournament space. But you're not going to be probably a good fit for a superintendent of, you know, an area, because that's so much more than, and that includes, you know, helping out with your maintenance staff and understanding that world of it too, because that's a whole other piece to it. So don't discount those maintenance staff and those people off to the side, because they have such a vital role to your department, natural resources, parks management, all of that. They are huge and you should become best friends with them, because they are going to make your life better or make it hard. You are not above them. You are not below them. You are at the same level as them, and you should treat them as if they are gold. So beyond that soapbox, let's see here. Not speaking up when you are in over your head or not sure what to do. That is a pitfall. Avoid that. If you don't know what you're doing, it is okay to say, I don't know what I'm doing. Raise that hand. It's kind of like, it reminds me of that Office episode where Jim doesn't know what the rundown is. And so he spends all day long trying to figure out what a rundown is, and he's just too nervous to ask. Don't be too nervous to ask. Ask it, because it will save you time, us time. It's just better that way. Trying to change everything right away. There are going to be moments where you have the opportunity to instill change, and that is great. But sometimes things are the way they are because they have to be, because of policies or because it is a necessity. There might be a whole host of reasons why. But there will be opportunities for you to instill change, and you take those opportunities, but don't assume you need to change everything. Sometimes you don't have to recreate that wheel. That wheel, it works. It might need some adjustments, but it works. Thinking that you can do it all and that you don't need help. There is so many aspects to parks and recreation that if you can do it all, you will burn out quickly. You have to have your team behind you, and you have to have those relationships, because you can't do it all and do it well. That's like a Parks and Rec quote right there. A Ron Swanson quote. And let's see here. Not willing to be flexible. Like you said, going to do those things, working in childcare, working here, working there, working weekends that you didn't really want to work, whatever it is. You are flexible to the task that has been asked upon you. This one's kind of in a negotiating area, where expecting large salaries right away or expecting quick advancement. there's a lot of reasons why salaries are the way they are, depending on where your cities are. And sometimes they can be negotiated, sometimes they can't. But we are not a profession that makes a ton of money. If that's what you are hoping for, you should probably go ahead and look elsewhere. We do it for the love and the passion, not for the money. Sometimes people run into some big salaries. Congratulations to them. But they probably have been working for a very long time to get there. So I highly doubt that they signed on and started making what they made right away. Letting one mistake derail you. You're going to make them. We've kind of said it over and over. Mistakes will happen, but don't let that derail everything. A special event is not going to go down the tubes because of one mistake. Now, if you let that derail you, then you'll make consistently consequential mistakes, and then that will derail the whole thing. But that's where that relying on others and all those other things that come in place, that one mistake, it's going to be there and you're going to learn from it, but don't let it control everything else. And then expecting every program that you do to be gold. There are going to be programs that fall flat. I ran a program that I had put so much time and energy in. I was so pumped about it. And it was actually a special event, and it failed miserably. And it was within my first year. And that was the one where I went to my boss and I was like, I have failed you. And he's like, no, now you know what to do. What are you going to do for next time? And I went back to my desk and I started making a list of all of the things that I did wrong. And then I started making a list of all the things that I wanted to see for next year and everything. So know that you might have to tweak something here or there, or something might not work for your community or whatever, but not everything we're not all Midas. We're not going to touch it and make it turns to gold. We're going to have to work that. And that's going to be hard work and effort. So expect you're not going to walk away successful every single time. But I think those are some of those big pitfalls that young professionals kind of experience.
I totally agree. And one of your first points made me, again, think about my experience that after college, I had so much fun during my internship with the cultural arts department. And I thought, okay, that is what I want to do out of college. So that's all the jobs that I was applying to. I was working with seniors because it was something that kind of fell into place. And to me, it was a temporary thing, but I had my heart set on cultural arts, that I was going to go to another district and get a cultural arts job. It didn't happen. And so I ended up working with seniors for 5 years before I ended up switching over to fitness. And that's okay. And I ended up learning a ton and working with some of the best people in the field that way. So it's okay to go into this thinking that you're going to be athletics or you're going to be seniors or cultural arts or aquatics. And those positions maybe aren't available at that time. And you've got to kind of switch gears and change directions. It's okay. Like Jody said, you're going to get experience that helps you to move your way up to superintendent or executive director or something like that. I also, like Jody said several times, you know, don't be afraid to go out of your comfort zone and try new things. I never thought that I'd be okay standing in front of 400 seniors and seeing their Christmas party, but it happened and it was one of the best things to happen to me. Yes, at the time I thought I was going to have a heart attack, but it ended up being one of the best things for me to get me out of my comfort zone, to make me comfortable standing in front of people, made me comfortable to get on this podcast and talk to all of you. So, and then Jody's also mentioned like helping with cutting the grass and pulling fields and cleaning toilets and things like that. I highly encourage you to get to know the other departments. Like Jody said, they are instrumental. I'm sure you'll learn during your internship process that you can't run your programs without them. It is a two-way street. I have to call up our department and say, hey, I need a room set up. I mean, surely I could set it up myself, but it's 100 times easier when I've got a crew of 10 guys who I get along with and they're willing to come drop everything to set up a room for me or make sure that my facility looks nice, that the grass is cut, there's fresh flowers, they put the lights on our building for the holidays. So it is very, very good to have a good relationship with your parks and facilities department. If you don't, it's going to be a rough couple of years at that district. So, and it also helps you with your CPRP. For those of you who haven't taken your CPRP yet, it is extremely important to understand your parks department, your finance department, your own rec department, if that's the department that you're in. It helps you so much to take that test if you understand those departments. So yes, buy your Parks Guys donuts and find out more about their budgets and when they can buy a new truck and, you know, how values depreciate and things like that. It's extremely important to know those things, especially for your CPRP. So I think Jody made some amazing points today. So I'm going to ask her to share some final thoughts, and then I have one last question for her.
Perfect. Some final thoughts. Oh boy. If you aren't involved, get involved. And if you are involved, then stay involved and see what other areas you can become involved. Really, we are a group of we are the best group of people that you can work with, and we are here for you to help out. And the more you're involved, the more you feel part of that family. When people say that they didn't feel like they were included, or that sometimes that's one of those hard things that you got to step outside that comfort zone, become involved so that way you can feel the love of that family. I've seen so many things on NRPA about the YPNs and stuff like that, about the impact that being a part of that group has done for them, or even the leadership and development group, and even in your state associations, just what that has done for them and making them feel so included and so driven to be a part of Parks and Recreation. So those are things that you definitely want to do. Become involved and engaged. Network. So this is kind of another thing. Meet with people within your department and your surrounding departments. Meet people on the same level as you, people who are above you, people who are below you. Find out what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. These people are not only amazing resources because you are going to need them. There's going to be moments in time where you need their help, or you need their ideas, or you need just somebody to vent to, because they understand the ups and downs of our job field. They understand what we go through, the stresses, the highlights, the just super exciting moments. And it never hurts to have a friend. So network with people. And then lastly, pay attention to what is going on. So whether that's in your department, in your community, your county, your state, your region, the national level, people will always have needs. And it's up to us to come up with solutions. We're doing that right now, where all of us, you've seen so many departments across the country who have come up with ways to do virtual programming to meet with seniors, to provide that need of connection, or camp boxes. I mean, the Women in Professionals Network that is all over Facebook, it is amazing to see all the great ideas that has been thrown out left and right. Just keep yourself engaged in what is happening, because you never know where your next great idea is going to come from, or what trend is going to happen next. And it might be simply just paying attention that grabs your attention to this could be something big, or this is a great idea.
I definitely agree. And so to piggyback on your last point a little bit, so I've been professionally in the field for 10, 11 years now. And it used to be, okay, you searched other park districts on the East Coast and West Coast to get their ideas, because typically park and rec agencies on the East Coast and West Coast have the newest ideas. So being here in the Midwest, we're sandwiched in between. So it used to be, hey, go look at their brochures. Now we have the Women in Parks and Recreation group on Facebook that is an excellent resource to ask questions, to get ideas. Throw your idea out there. How are you doing e-learning hubs? How are you opening up your senior center safely? How are you opening up your pool this summer? It also gives you kind of a leg to stand on when you need to go back to your department heads and they say, well, what is everyone else doing? Well, this is what I know. You know, you might not have a chance to talk to those within your state right away, but you can shoot a question out there to the Women in Parks and Recreation group and get an answer pretty quickly. And like you said, on your state association sites and things like that, I know through NRPA and IPRA, we have our Connect boards, and you can ask a question and people are great about responding and giving you feedback. So definitely don't be afraid to network and find out what's going on around you. Definitely some great takeaways. And my last question for you that we didn't really prepare for is, how do you feel that we raise the, or that we should be raising the bar in the field of parks and recreation? What does that mean to you, raising the bar?
Oh, raising the bar. That is a fun question. I think raising the bar is understanding why we do what we do and then coming up with ways to meet the needs that aren't being met, whatever that means, because there are so many groups that we might not be getting to that's specific to your community or whatever. But like, for instance, Kendra Beaver, she works just up the road from me and at Excelsior Springs Parks and Recreation, and she has legitimately raised the bar by providing some great insights on esports. She has been all over the place right now with all of her, she's educating people left and right on how to include that into your programming out platforms and everything. So just, it's amazing to see some of that, like that's raising the bar. That's taking it to the next level. Down the road, taking a bad situation, we had Grandview Parks. They took an Easter event that was demolished by COVID and turned it into this amazing social media event. I think they had like 2 million likes because all they did was dress up a staff member in a bunny suit and they had a sign. And essentially people would call in and say, hey, can we get a picture of the bunny with our kid's name on it or whatever? And it got copied around the US. Like, it was posted on social media and it exploded. And, you know, they do great things. Those are just little things that, you know, I've been able to see in my area alone. But raising that bar is understanding what our purpose is and then coming up with ways to meet those needs and not settling for just, oh, this is what we do. Because what we've always done is great sometimes. But how can we take that to the next step? What is it, you know, what do we need to do that in, you know, whether it's inclusivity, whether it's through equity, whether it is through natural resource management, whatever that is, there are so many aspects to raising that bar within parks. And we become so much more essential whenever we do that. And I think that this opportunity that, you know, it's hard to look at COVID and say it's been an opportunity, but I feel like it has been an opportunity for the parks and recreation industry because it has allowed us to kind of take the spotlight for a few minutes that a lot of times we're not given. And we have been given this great opportunity to show to our communities that, like I said earlier, when everything else was not available, we were still there for you and we're still going to be there for you. And we are so important to the health and well-being of our community that we want to be there, and they have a great group of individuals that are ready to work with them, for them, however that looks.
Yes, I totally agree. COVID has given us an opportunity. As much as it has been stressful, painful, challenging, it has been a huge opportunity for us in the field of parks and recreation to get our voices heard, make ourselves known, show our communities why we deserve funding and their user fees and things like that. So I had so much fun talking to you, Jody. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm sure we will talk again soon.
Perfect. Thank you for having me. It was great to meet you all. And if you ever need anything, I'm on the Women in Parks site, but reach out. I'm more than happy to answer any questions or be a help whatsoever, because that's part of who we are in parks. We are here for each other.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jody.